BJ, Betty Jean, is a Terry McMillan heroine. Her husband is retired and suffers from Alzheimer's. She worked as a Los Angeles hotel maid to raise three kids. One son, Dexter, is in prison. Another, Quentin, is doing fine but has had multiple marriages and pointedly lives out of town. Wants little contact with his family. There's also Betty Jean's daughter, Trinetta, who opens the story by asking her mother,
Ma, I need to borrow $140 today, and I swear as soon as I get my check, I'll pay you back. But the good news is I might have a job, and I was wondering if I could bring the boys over for a couple of days so I can study for the test. Please say yes, Ma, please. Did I miss hello? Hello, Ma.
Betty Jean is at the center of a family story that mixes generations, races, and surprises. Terry McMillan, whose previous books include the bestsellers Waiting to Exhale and How Stella Got Her Groove Back, joins us from the studios of KPCC in Pasadena. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Betty Jean, as we mentioned, is certainly at the center of the story. You switch around the narrative voice. Tell us about that process. How did you change from character to character, chapter to chapter?
You know, all it requires is to just not be Terry McMillan. I mean, I create these profiles of my characters long before I write them. And I kind of hear their voices in my head. Mm-hmm. And, you know, someone who's sort of pompous, like my character Arlene, she's Miss Know-It-All. It wasn't hard to write in her point of view. Nurse Kim was a little different.
Oh, boy, I wanted to ask you about Nurse Kim.
Oh, whew.
From the very first, one of my favorite characters.
I loved her, though. I don't know where she came from. I do not know. I am not kidding.
A very dedicated nurse, let us explain.
Oh, yes. Quite accommodating.
How do we say this? Cherishes her patients.
She likes to please them. I will never read that chapter aloud in front of an audience. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed for her.
Really?
But that's who she was. I knew that's who she was. So, you know, you have to be honest. I mean, that's why I love writing in first person. You get to show a character's flaws and weaknesses and all their little idiosyncrasies, all of that.
Mm. I find Quentin, this is the son who's done well.
I didn't like him at
first.
Well,
I found him a little hard to take. Now, I made a note of something. He comes to L.A. for a chiropractor's convention.
Yes.
And he decides to see his mother. And she tells him, you use far too many words to say so little.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I do too. So what's his problem?
You know, I think that some African-Americans who become successful, some of them try to alienate themselves from where they came from, mm-hmm. especially if it's the ghetto. I mean, mm-hmm. there are some folks out here, I've lived around some who've done it, and some of them like to forget where they came from and who they are, and I find that sad. And in this case, he alienated himself from his family, and I think it took a white woman to help him realize his blackness.
I wondered, I mean, because Betty Jean is such a inspiring character in many ways. Where does she find the strength to raise young children all over again?
Well, that was part of the point. I mean, I did a lot of research mm-hmm. on this grandparents as parents. And there are millions. And this isn't just a black problem like a lot of people think it might be.
Yeah.
Not even close. I mean, the bottom line is that you do what you have to do. And, you know, when this story starts, Betty Jean basically is questioning her own parenting skills when she looks at how her three adult children have fared. And then when her two grandchildren, she has to make a choice, either just let them go into foster care or care for them. I don't think that she was thinking, oh, here's my chance to do it right. Not even anything so simple as that.
Yeah.
She just realized that these are two innocent lives, and they are her blood, and she couldn't just abandon them. And so she found the strength. I think there's a scene in the story when she's at work in a hotel room, mm-hmm. And I remember she just sat there, and I was right there in that room. And she just her shoulders just fell. She started crying because she just questioned whether or not she had the wherewithal to do this. Yeah. She didn't really know if she had it in her. But ultimately, she passed the test.
Yeah.
You can find the strength to do almost anything when you need to. That's how I see it.
Why do you think you write novels?
I write novels because I wish I was a magician. And I wish I could fix things that are wrong or things that hurt us and how we hurt ourselves or how others hurt us. And I write things that I'm tired of, that exhaust me emotionally. And because I want to show how hard things can be, but what happens if we deal with them instead of running from them?
Boy.
What?
I usually...
You asked.
I know, and I sometimes ask that of novelists, and I usually, if I may, I usually don't get such a coherent answer.
Well, I don't write to be famous, I'll tell you that much. All I know is I feel better when I finish.
So,
I develop a lot more empathy and a lot more patience.
Is that one of the things a great novel can do, make us empathize?
I would like to think so. That's one of the reasons why I do this. I'm not interested in writing about people who don't have battles, who don't have to overcome something. I'm more interested in watching real people go through real problems in a real way. They don't have to solve all of their problems, but if they can just come to terms with tackling them, they're ahead of the game.
Terry McMillan, her latest novel, Who Asked You? Thanks very much for being with us. I enjoyed this.
Thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it too.